When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and welcome to Big Yay Energy. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Theora.
Come along with us while we dive into the fun and nuances of queer media. Representation matters.
And we're here to talk about it.
Cheers, queers! What's on the Big Yay agenda today, Theora?
Today, we are talking about a very anticipated topic, which is Gap the Series. Woo! Apparently, I'm the only one excited.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I just love that you named this our outline, Gap the Series, the outline.
And what's the acronym? GTSTO. And why would I do something like that, Caitlin?
I'm assuming it's because of the last show we talked about.
Which was?
High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Just so many words.
Gotta say the whole thing, though.
Anyway. Yes, that's what I was making fun of just for you, Caitlin. It was a little callback. But today, we're talking about Gap the Series. So wanted to shout out, first and foremost, Monsters, Inc. Oh, I forget your numbers. Handle on Twitter, who has been, like, tweeting at us for, like, a while. Being like, can you guys cover Gap the Series? Can you cover Gap the Series? And, like, this came out, or, like, not came out, but became, like, a big international success during the Warrior Nun era. So we were... if you've seen our content, very tied up in Warrior Nun and unable to get this while it was going. And also a friend of the podcast, Nancy. We love you, Nancy, who also has been wanting us to do this. So this is for you guys. And I wanted to thank everybody who's mentioned this show, because honestly, it was very fun and we're happy to be here talking about it. If you haven't seen Gap the Series, that's okay. Like, stick around for the first, like, little bit of our episode, this particular one, where we'll give, like, a little synopsis, a spoiler-free review of the show as a whole, and then we'll dive into all the spoilers, but we will give you a warning before we get there. But before we do that, is there any housekeeping we should address, Caitlin?
Oh, we should all be used to this by now. All right, let's see how quick I can get through it this time. If you're watching this podcast on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to our channel, give this video a like, and drop a comment to share your thoughts. We absolutely love hearing from you. For our podcast listeners, please download this episode and leave a review if you can. Your engagement helps us reach a broader audience and spread the joy of queer content. For even more exclusive queer content, early access to videos, and full reaction videos, join us on Patreon. Dive into discussions on our Discord channel where we enjoy connecting with all of you. Explore our merchandise at biggayenergypod.com to show your support. All links will be in the description. Lastly, stay connected with us on all social media platforms by following at @BigGayEnergyPod. Your interactions mean the world to us, and these actions contribute to our ongoing celebration of queer media and advocacy for better representation.
Woo!
Woohoo! Good job, one Caitlin. Day I will do that without no mistakes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's with more organic with mistakes.
All right, let's get into Gap the Series.
Woo!
Where can you watch it, Theora?
So, you can watch it all for free on YouTube. There's 12 episodes total. It's like a one and done season, which is so lovely because then you're not like campaigning for a second one because it's all wrapped up nice in 12 episodes. The show itself is like a telenovela style rom-com that takes place in Thailand. So if you don't speak that language, subtitles will now be your best friend. They were mine. Did you write? I didn't write this part. The actual synopsis. Who wrote those?
Oh, Google. Ever since Sam came to her aid years ago, Mon has always considered the former as her role model. When Mon graduates, she decides to apply for a job at Sam's company. No, this has always been the goal, anyway. Yet Sam's distant and icy exterior surprises her. The closer Mon gets to Sam, and the more of Sam's barrier she breaks, the more Mon's feelings gradually change from idolizing to love, and Sam's world becomes brighter. However, between them lie many obstacles, such as gender barriers, the 8-year age gap, company rules, and social class, as Sam is a descendant of royalty.
Ooh, so that's your spoiler-free synopsis of basically what the entire show is about. I found this interesting, too, when I was researching it. Apparently, it's a live adaptation of the novel that's called Gap Yuri. And I've included a picture of the actresses holding the book.
Wait a minute, it's called Gap Yuri?
Yeah, which is interesting.
That is interesting.
Okay. Yeah, so I assume I can't read it or find it. First of all, I can't find it for purchase because I don't live in Thailand. And I'm pretty confident it's not in English. So I don't know if the name's changed, but that's the name of the book. So here we go. I wanted to add something else too from friend of the podcast, Nancy, who gave a bunch of like context to the show also. I kind of wanted to talk about. So the two actresses, Becky Armstrong and, oh crap, I don't remember the other actress's name. All I know is their ship name or whatever is Friend Becky, I think.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going to butcher this name. So Sarosha?
I
think she uses Friend, though.
That's her middle Freen? Name, I think.
Freen.
Freen? Is that it? Freen? Okay. Sorry. I didn't hear it spoken about. So hold on. Okay. Apparently the two actresses, so they have a bunch of projects they've done together, which is actually crazy. So they met on the, I think it's called SCOY, S-C-O-Y project, when Becky was 17 and Freen was 21. So they have a 4.5-year age gap. And they found this really unique bond with each other. And they've been doing projects together pretty much like nonstop since then. They have a movie that they shot called Uranus 24-23, something like that. Again, where it's like a sapphic, like sci-fi movie where they're like the lead romance. I watched the trailer and I'm dying for this movie. It's right up my alley. It sounds amazing. And they have a new series coming out called The Loyalty Pin, which is also based on like a Thai book where they again play like love interest. So they're like basically carrying sapphic media on their backs and they must be pretty tired from doing that. But these two are like an international kind of like sensation, and this show Gap apparently like they made like a pilot for it and it didn't do really well. And then they kind of like changed things and shopped around and found Idol Factory, who hosts it on YouTube. And they didn't really know it was going to blow up, but apparently it like blew up and it became this like international sensation. And so these two women are just like all over Thailand and all over the world, kind of like, I don't know, making things happen for media. Mm-hmm. So very exciting, very fun. And this show is honestly like really great. And I'm happy that it's accessible on YouTube, because otherwise like I wouldn't be able to watch it. Like, and it had such a big impact all over the world, which I think is really cool.
I want to bring up something real quick. You mentioned SCOY. I believe that stands for Secret Crush on You.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Yeah, I think Nancy said the two of them were like a supporting characters, but their chemistry was so insane, they made them leads in something else.
Cool. Good for them.
So, good acting partners. Mm-hmm. All right. So before we kind of like... Actually, wait. Let's... I just want to give you a disclaimer before we go any further. So if you're new here, hi, welcome. And if you're not, you'll already kind of know this. But all hosts in attendance today, it's me, Caitlin, and Cole. We are not fluent in the Thai language. We are not members of this culture, nor are we residents of the part of the world where this television show took place and was filmed. Therefore, as a disclaimer, we are limited in our perspective of this piece of media and cannot analyze it without our Western life experiences. And so therefore that is going to kind of bias what we're going to say about this. But we did our best to research Thai culture to put this show into context. But again, we are not experts on this topic and we wanted to be very transparent about that going forward. So we were very much going by the subtitles that were given to us, like, so we are going to miss things and we're going to look at this through an American lens because unfortunately that is where we grew up for better or worse. And that's
and our we bias have to deal with yes. What we were taught in school and trying to learn as much as we can now that we're out of it.
Yeah. So we're going to be skewed. We are going to miss things. And if we do, like, please correct us in the comments. Please like help us. We're trying. Okay. So just, I wanted to be very transparent about that.
Yeah. All right.
So with that being said, spoiler-free review time. So, what did you, if you guys had to, like, give a quick summary of, like, your thoughts and feelings on Gap without spoiling anything, what would you say?
This question's literally in our outline, yet we have no answer for it, apparently.
Yeah, guys, it's in the outline. I would say a slow burn that lasts years for one of them.
A lifetime.
A lifetime, one might say. Really great queer friends. Drama with family. Who cannot relate to that? And a really sweet love story.
I would say a stalker has an aggravating relationship with a superior.
All right.
In a cute way.
But it's cute. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man.
That's good. I would say this is a love story that bridges many gaps.
Mm. Okay, just name. Throw the title into it, okay.
Throw the title in there. Mitch's Many Gaps. And in one season, it tells a complete story from start to finish of this sapphic couple, which for me is not normal. Usually we're side characters, or that's not really the main plot, but they are the plot from start to finish, and it tells a complete story, like, and to hearken on everything you guys says, it's a slow burn. I think it's fun and funny, like, honestly. It's cheery for the most part, but there is drama with a capital D happening there, but keeps things interesting. So overall, I super enjoyed it and thought it was a very good show. All right, to close out the spoiler free section, the best way to kind of give people an idea of whether or not they should watch it or invest their time in it is to rate it on the Big Gay Energy scale. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, or whatever you want, this is an informal rating system, how much Big Gay Energy does Gap the series have?
Bye, Cole.
So much Cole had to leave.
I was thinking about this, that it kept me up last night. So,
intense, Caitlin.
I was literally going through numbers in my head, like, literally analyzing this, because it's scientific. I think I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because do we give a reason? I forget.
Yeah, give reasons. We're trying to entice people.
Because it is quite queer, but there's not enough multiple representations. Like, you see things, but it's not, like, focused on. See, like, Heartstopper, they have a bunch of different
plot lines.
Yeah, plot lines, representations in it, where this one is mainly focused on the main couple and, like, sapphic love, basically. So, but they're in it the whole time. They don't forget that
nobody dies.
Spoiler that's alert.
Queer. Well,
that's queer. Oh, that's I guess that's... Never mind. A queer was harmed in the making of this show. Trigger warning.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Cole, what you got? How much Big Gay Energy would you give Gap?
I mean, it's very gay. It's almost, like, it's very gay. Like, there's, my rating, I would say on a gay scale, it's very gay. On a would I watch it again, my number's
that's
a little bit lower.
That's a different scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so, what I base off the
this is Big Gay Energy.
The hydrate lesbian. Jesus.
Yeah, that's the end.
Okay. So I mean well, we do have I would go with like an 8 or a 9. So I would probably have a similar score, like rating. For like just
8.5
gayness. Yeah, just on the gayness in
it. Was the lack of diversity in the queer community, and I don't think that the whole relationship was that great, so that's why I knocked it down a little bit. But overall, very queer. Theora, what is your score?
For me, it circles the globe. That's how gay it is. So honestly, like, yeah, I think that it's almost like Red, White, and Royal Blue, because it's like, it's a rom-com style that focuses on the rom-com couple. Mm-hmm. So I understand that it's not going to be Heartstopper where it goes into different plot lines. It's literally just focused on the two leads as, again, they go from the start of a relationship to the end. And so I thought that was fine for what it was trying to do. And I do appreciate the fact that there's a variety of queer people in it, and it's not really addressed or discussed. It's just part of what this is, and it was normalized. And like, there's another queer relationship that happens during the show, at the course of the show, and it's never commented on. It just is. And so I enjoy that about it. And I think they do talk about, you know, queerness in the context of that culture, particularly like as the old guard is passing, you know, power onto the new guard with like the older, more conservative people to the younger people. And in the context of like what's going on in Thailand politically when it comes to queer rights, I thought this was an incredibly important television show, not just for depicting queerness, but for like kind of like having a conversation about like what is going on in that country right now through the lens of this show. So for me, it breaks the scale because I think this has the impact to like change culture. So I thought it was huge. Whether or not like you like it as much as other pieces of queer media, that's a whole nother story. I think that this is an incredibly important piece of queer media, and the fact that it has taken off across the world is so important for just representation. So the value of the show in my mind is just uncalculable. I think it's fantastic. And the actresses that are in this are very good public figures and very positively and well received. So again, like the real world impact of this particular show is so huge, which is really what representation media is all about. So it breaks the scale for me. So circles the globe. All right, she's gays and theys and everybody in between. We have reached the spoiler section. So if you do not want to be spoiled and you haven't seen Gap the Series, turn this off and go watch Gap the Series. It's free on YouTube. Just dedicate half of a day. It's 12 hours. You can binge it all. It's fine. You won't regret it. Or maybe you will. Tell us in the comments. I don't know. But when you're done, come back and listen to this. And if you've seen it or you haven't and you're just like, a spoiler ho, there's no slut shaming on this podcast. Keep listening, because we're about to dive into quite literally all the things about Gap the Series, including all of the super gay stuff.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. All right. So before we jump into like scene by scene kind of stuff, we'll do like a general spoilery overview of what we thought. So what were your general likes, dislikes of Gap the Series, like overall as a show?
I just started with a few dislikes because most of my likes will be like when we talk about the show overall. So I just want to talk about Mon's obsession with Sam, because I just feel like it's stalker behavior. And like, she's basically stalking her for 13 years. And like, yeah, I get idolizing someone, but she made sure she went to the same college and then got the job at her company. Like, she's trying to do everything the same. She's trying to become Sam, basically. And that's like when I feel like the creepy stalkers, like they're trying to like become that person and like take over their life, you know, like those types of storylines. I mean, we know that Mon's not like that, but like that was like the kind of level that I was getting. I don't know if you have a different take, but there's a lot of photos.
I mean, to me, it kind of felt like when you're a teenager or something and you have celebrities up on your wall, like pictures of celebrities on your wall. And that's kind of, and we find out later, you find out about like what she knew wasn't actually Lady Sam. Like what she knew about Lady Sam wasn't actually who she was. It was like a curated version of her, like the media portrays and stuff.
Like all celebrities.
Yeah. No.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. It's just
the following her part is where it treads into stalker behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, Caitlin. But whatever works out in the end. Yeah, it is a little stalkery.
The issue that I had mostly was just like literally trying to do every single thing that Sam did.
Yeah.
And then wind up
at our company.
I mean, on the surface, it reads that way, but for Mon, I think it's more like
she, you know, she's like, Sam is such a good person. I want to be as good, like, a good person like that, not necessarily be her. Because it's not like she tries to dress like Sam. Like, because it's commented that, like, from all the interviews or whatever, like, she's like, oh, Sam's favorite color is red. Mom never wears red. It's not like she's, like, trying to, I don't think she's trying to be Sam. I think she's trying to, like, be like her and be successful and be a good person and put good out into the world, because that was the impression she was left with that stuck with her. But on the surface, yeah, it looks like stalker behavior a little bit there, Mon.
Just need some red string and it's like turning into like a...
Like that's literally what I pictured on the board.
Just turning into some like, criminal minds type thing.
I did forget about that aspect, which I think is why I like the second half better, because they get rid of the I am obsessed with you as much.
Mm-hmm.
Because they literally, we'll get into it later.
Well, but, yeah. In the second half, Mon gets to actually know Sam. So it goes away from like, it's what I can find about you from researching you to like, I'm actually spending time with you. So it's a different, the relationship changes from like an observation to like an actual interactive thing. And so I'm sure if you were to interact with your celebrity crush in real life for like months, your relationship and your view of that person will obviously change, because you don't know celebrities unless you're actually with them, like this show is demonstrating.
I mean, I would love to figure that out one day. So
I think more people need to get that message through their heads about celebrities.
Truly. Oh yeah.
Of course it's all fake. They make money off of your clicks, man.
Even when they're like fully honest on social media, like it's not their whole life.
You cannot be fully honest. There's no way. It's all curated. I will say, I like the show so much that I decided to method podcast. And so when we were doing our reaction videos, I had Sam hair. Now I have Mon hair. And also I wore gray for Sam today. So let's get into this.
I love you, Theora. Okay, so I'm going to just jump right into my next dislike, because I wouldn't be me if I didn't bring up something that had to do with the filming. So they use Dutch angles, which is basically the tilted angle in every scene, and it makes no sense because the show is generally shot very well and beautiful. Like, there's some very beautiful shots. But the random slanted shots make no sense, because these types of shots are meant to be used to invoke uneasiness and tension in the viewer. But since it is so overused and incorrectly most times, because to be fair, the only time it really made sense was when Mon was trying to scare Sam.
Yeah, that does make sense.
So it loses its meaning. And then, of course, I have to bring up that there are crossfades in basically every single scene.
You and Michaela, if you didn't.
And a lot of I was writing this as I was watching it, so I said, but I'm working on getting over it.
I feel like this show, remember that show we watched together, it was Glamorous, where they overdid the lens flares. And I feel like this was, which is another queer show, like if you haven't seen it, go watch it. But I feel like this was all aesthetic, no meaning behind the actual like technique that they were doing, with the exception of like, okay, so one aspect I do like about the show is that it was romantically shot, which I thought was important, because literally it's a romance story. So the fact that they were conscious of that when they were filming it, to me, adds to it. And so they would do a lot of like, I don't know if it lens or like, they would do these like positioning of them with like light and like showing all these things. And it was very well done. And I feel like that hit the nose of what they were trying to go for, but then some of these other things I think was just like an aesthetic they were going for, and it had no meaning whatsoever behind it, like the Dutch angles, like you're saying. And the crossfades were showing the passage of time, but it would be like 2 seconds. So again, it doesn't have the same effect.
No, there were some times where they would just transition into
That's what I mean. Like technically.
Oh, technically.
A millisecond passed. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's like that movie when they were like doing all those crossfades, and I'm like, it was literally like 30 minutes.
Right. No, oh my God, the Christmas movie. Yeah. And your Christmas wedding. Yeah, no, exactly. That's what it gave me this vibe for. I'm like, it's been 10 seconds and they're like crossfading. So technically, time passed.
but not a significant amount where you would need a crossing.
It's not well, a good enough reason.
Another thing is that it was really hard to tell the passage of time. Like, we knew that there was, like, a month time because you had, like...
The deadline. Big,
yeah, the deadline was, like, you have a month to get this done.
That was a long time for, like, a month. Like, I thought the month passed.
Seriously.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. The time was so non-existent, kind of. And, like, if they were trying to use crossfades as, like, a change of, or, like, a passage of time, passing of time, it did not match the actual time frame that they were...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of, like, forgot space on time, and then at one point they'd be like, it's been 2 days, Mom. And I'm like, it's been 2 days? It's been, like, five episodes. What do you mean it's been 2 days?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm with you on that. Because I think they, like, in the beginning spent a lot, it's been, by slow burn, I mean, like, the beginning is, like, three episodes of just, like, day one. And then, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So, yeah, the pacing is
interesting. Funky.
Yeah. Funky, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So, positives. I've mentioned this already, but I will say it again. I think the show has high cultural representation value. It is a, you know, a show shot in Thailand with, like, women of color, like, the whole cast, like, which, if this was shot in America, that would never happen. So, I think it's really great, and I think it's good to show, you know, at least for me, as a, you know, somebody born in America who's lived here forever, I think it's, I like seeing queerness in other cultures, and, like, to me, this really gave me a different lens to kind of look at, you know, how queer women specifically, as they are the leads, kind of navigate that in this different kind of culture and in this kind of, like, you know, parallel time that we're, because it's a modern time. It's not like this was like 100 years ago or something. It's like takes place now, quote unquote. So it's a modern take in a different country, which I really, really enjoy. And the plot of the show is literally the sapphic couple, like, that is, they are the plot. And to me, that's usually my favorite thing. That's why I loved Killing Eve so much, because it's like, those two women are the plot. Everything else that happens around them literally doesn't matter. The company, by the end, who knows what's happening with the company? We don't know. It doesn't matter. That was a MacGuffin to get the two together to, like, tell their story. And, like, while sometimes I'll make fun of that, honestly, I don't care what's happening with the company. Like, I want to see them. And so I really like that, because I don't think, like, sapphic women, like, ever get that enough. Usually we're side plots, there's something else going on, like, so I like that. It's, and I do enjoy that it's almost like a mini series in a way. It's like one and done, like, the complete story is told by the end. Like, yeah, I would love to see more of them, obviously, but, like, I feel like the story is told. I don't need to campaign for a season two. I don't feel unsatisfied. Nobody got pushed into a portal to another dimension. And, like, you know what I mean? So I was like, what the fuck? Like, the story is good.
Apparently that is very common in Thai media, which honestly, at the rate we're going, portal? Let's
wait,
do it.
Wait, no, one not season, the- right?
Yeah, not the portal. Not the portal.
Okay, just making sure I'm on the same page.
Like, telling a complete story.
Yeah. And having 12 episodes and not six.
Like, so it's basically like two seasons of American TV or like British TV. Yes, give me more of this. I want miniseries. Like, I want to be satisfied at the end and just tell me the story. Like, you know,
I would be fine with these two actors doing another show as the lead.
They are.
Well, yes. They are.
Yeah, that's fantastic. No, exactly.
But, like, that's what I want. I just want the two good chemistry, like, people together. They can. It doesn't matter what show they're on. It doesn't have to be the exact one. Just the two of them being new characters. Be like, who cares?
Yes,
just doing something else.
For
just
me, it's like more of them. Like, it's like fanfic AUs. It's like, give me the AU where they're in space. Oh, that's the movie they did. So yeah, exactly. I'm with this. Like, I'm here for this. Sorry, Caitlin.
It's okay. I wasn't, I'm not, what I say is not important anyway.
Yes, let's it is. Continue. Tell me.
No, what were you going to say?
Caitlin.
I think I said.
I'm going to hydrate.
I think I said I would have trouble getting used to them being different characters.
I mean, honestly, are they going to be different characters?
Right.
They could just be themselves. Who cares if there's just another story? I'm just here for the sapphic couple. I don't, just like what we were talking about before, the background, the actual story does not matter.
It's, maybe they're back at the company. Who cares? What is the company? It doesn't matter.
That's fair.
Yeah, I love it. Okay.
I do want to know more about the company, though.
But that's just I work in that area. So I'm like, I can help you.
Honestly, that is the one thing I'm unsatisfied with the show. It's like,
What happened? Because
there was high stakes invested in the company and then like it just disappeared completely. And I was like, what happened? Anyway.
And also, what the hell did Mon do to get 500,000?
Seriously, I need Mon to come on the podcast and tell us what she did. I would like 50,000 followers. Not 500 sounds like a dream.
Like, she posted one thing and got 50,000 followers.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I bring that up later. Continue.
Yes, okay. So, something else that confused me at the beginning was the title. Because I was just like, Gap the Series. I'm like, is it a translation thing and I don't understand it? But as you mentioned in your like Google synopsis, Caitlin, there is a bunch of like things that separate the two protagonists. And so I finally come to realize that like literally it's like people who have gaps between them and like the love bridges the gap. So hence the title. So once I figured that out, I was like, am I missing something? Is that a translation thing? But I get it now. I get it now. They're so different yet so similar. Because of love.
Chemistry. All right.
Chemistry. Okay. I thought the telenovela style was fun. I'm not somebody who watches or has been exposed to a lot of like telenovela soap opera-y kind of like media. So at first I was like, this is a little weird because I'm not used to, not in a bad way, just I wasn't used to it. But once I kind of like got used to like the style, like the comedy style, the way they shot it, the dramatic music, which is probably one of my favorite things. The placement of some of the dramatic music makes me laugh so much. My favorite instance is when, I forget what episode it is, and I'm sure I'll comment on it later, when T basically like is trying to make Sam jealous, like, because when is that not happening? But like takes Mon out for prawns or whatever and like posts the photo. And then Sam shows up and gets out of the car to confront them. And it's just that, like, final boss dramatic music is playing as she's just walking, like, 2 feet. It's one of my favorite things. So the, like, drama that it adds, just because it's ridiculous, I thought was very fun. And it made it funny, even when it was supposed to be dramatic. So I liked that overall.
My only experience with telenovela style is Jane the Virgin, which is also another great show. I recommend it for everybody because loved it when it got queer. Did not expect it one bit. Anyway, I wanted more of that in the middle because I felt like it kind of went down and like just was like nothing and then went back up. But I just wanted something else to catch me off guard.
I would say that's fair. It is like when you're not used to it, it does like, you're like, oh, okay. But it is fun. The other thing I think that was consistent, whereas like the soapy telenovela feel wasn't there consistently, what I thought was very consistent was the romantic cinematography we talked about. Like there are just so many shots where they did a lot with playing with positioning of the two of them and like light and the way they would kind of like cross the camera so that like they were bathed in this like light. And it was just, it made the moments feel like more magical. Because a lot of this is them staring at each other, but like the way they would, there's so much staring. And I've since watched other Thai like sapphic shows. I will get to the gay ones soon. There's a lot of good ones out there, but I've noticed that this the whole like them staying very still and just like sitting in the moment is like seems like it's very quintessential to this type of media, like this rom-com-y Thai type of TV show. So I think that's a staple. But this show plays with the lighting in a way that the other shows really don't, and just like it just captures you in that moment and makes it fantastical, magical. And I thought that was very consistent, like kind of like as they went on with the show and as like the relationship progressed and all that stuff.
For me, every time I saw the light, because it was so prominent, I was just trying to figure out the lighting source. And like sometimes you could see literally the light that they used. But that's because I learned that in school. And I just know this, it ruins media for you a little bit.
But like lighting is such an art form though. And I think they like nailed it.
Yeah, they did. Lighting is difficult.
Yes, it is. So like kudos to everybody that the director for like all the framing and blocking and whoever did the lighting. Wow. Just like it was very stunning to look at as a piece of media.
I like the use of the colors in it. Yes. Also, like, I thought that they played a lot with they played a lot with like light and dark kind of thing, of like very like monochrome with Lady Sam, and then lots of color with Mon, and then even addressing the like co-workers at the building being like, no, you can't wear that color because it hurts my eyes.
Like, I love that part.
And just like, you have to change right now because you can't wear that color. And so like everyone in the office kind of wears like muted tones as well. And so I think that's really neat. And then just it's not like they don't blow out the color, but they make the colors very like pale but bright, like of the whole show. It's just very
overexposed.
Yes, thank you. So, and I think that's an interesting choice that they did, and it makes. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to cut you off.
Continue. No. I that was it.
Okay. So I feel like when people go for overexposed, it's supposed to be more like dreamlike.
Mm.
So it's probably like, this is Mon's dream, and
oh my god, does she dream? Girl's a daydreamer. Good lord.
Well, sometimes that's a very good point. Sometimes it was hard to tell what was dream and what was reality because the entire show was just a little bit too like overexposed. So there wasn't as hard like definition between dreams, dreamlike scenes and what's happening.
Why we thought Sam was a singer for most of the show.
Well, yeah, we'll get to
the
that
first episode,
sure.
Yes.
But like, isn't that what falling crazy in love is like though? It's hard to be like, is this real or is this a dream? Because it's very overwhelming. So I think was the choice.
What might have been interesting though was like having the light, like the overexposure, depending on if we're looking from Mon's point of view versus Lady Sam's point of view, or like seeing things from one or the other, having it change. And then I don't know. I think it was, the entire show was, in my opinion, too overexposed, so that when certain things happen, you miss.
They could have used it for
the nuance
emphasis.
Of it.
For sure. Okay. Something else that was consistent that I really love was the soundtrack. It's been stuck in my head, like, for days. Like, the freaking theme song. Because on YouTube, it's broken up. Like, the whole episode is not there as a whole episode. It's, like, broken up into parts because, like, YouTube. And so, but every time the theme song starts, that has been stuck in my head for days. Just days. But I love it. And then I found out that, like, the two actresses sing it.
Really? I didn't know that.
They have a music video. It's really cute. And friend of the podcast, Nancy, told me that they sing a lot of the music in the show, actually. It's them.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty cool. And they have, go ahead. I was going to say, there's a music video of, like, the Pink Theory, that's, like, the theme song that they did, and it's also, it's very cute. And so, when I watched it, I was like, oh, shit, that's actually them singing this, because it's because you know how when they do a music video, it's, like, a cover, like, you could tell, and I was like, this is the same fucking song. I'm like, shit, it's them. So, it took me a hot minute to figure that out, but.
Yeah, they're credited in the show as the singers of the song.
Aww.
Yeah, so.
I missed that.
Well, also missed that random person in the credits that was only in that one episode.
Surf Bomb.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally figured out who he was.
But I'm glad boy you pointed it out, Paul.
Yeah, you're welcome.
it was you.
But I'm glad that there was a resolution to that, but man, he got like credit through the entire show. I'm pretty sure. Like, for being in one episode at the end, he got credit from the very beginning. So, good job.
The credits are very complete. Even the dog is in the credits. That's so cool. I appreciate it.
The dog deserves it.
Agreed.
The dog played two characters.
Yeah. The dog had two roles. The very distinct dog had two roles. Anyway. Mm-hmm. All right. Last thing I had was there. This obviously was made for queer women, with queer women in mind, because there's so much gay staring. Like, 90% of their interactions are just Sam and Mon staring at each other and then face caressing. So, like, obviously queer women were in the room where they're like, how do we do this? And I'm like, listen, just do these two things and you'll sell this in 5 seconds. And so I appreciate that. I'm like, they knew their audience is what I'm saying, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, it also adds to the, like, slow burn of the show as well. Like, just staring from across the room and, like, barely touching or, like, just, you know, it was good. It was good. It was a good use of
everyone's time.
Yep. And,
yeah. I'm here for it. Thank you. More things like that, please. America, take notes.
Yeah. But please, like, have them kiss. Like, America, yes. Take notes, have them in a relationship. Because we get all of that gay staring from across the room, but it's always in a historical drama, and no one ever touches or kisses or it does, but it's behind closed doors, and it's just not good, and then someone dies. So,
or it's not a canon ship. All we had was staring to begin with, and anyway. Yes, payoff is what we're saying. There is so much payoff in the show I was not expecting. I was like, wow, okay. This show.
Yeah, there were some episodes where I'm glad that this is not the one that I'm watching in a room full of people. Because there was an episode that I had to watch. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. I think it was like the episode right after the one that I watched in front of people.
So thank you, Gap the Series creators. Well done. Well played. That threw me off. I was like, damn, I was expecting like romantic period piece type of stuff. Mm-hmm. That is not what they gave us, so thank you.
No. And then they are also like this, they did the teaser trailer or something like that, which was completely different than the teaser pilot or trailer pilot. I don't remember how they worded it, but it feels like when they redid the first like episode, because it was very similar to the first episode.
It was a pilot.
Yeah. They redid that one, and it was very muted with the like interaction between the two of them. And then it's like they just threw their changes out the window.
Bye, Cole.
Cole's new Caitlin with their camera.
If you've been here that long that you remember that.
Leave a comment.
Please, I would be very interested to know who remembers by Caitlin.
I don't even remember where I was.
Oh shit. The pilot trailer
compared
to it was muted.
Yes, when they redid it. They muted, and then they just kind of threw their changes out the window and were just like, no, we're going hard on the gay. Like, we're going hard on the interaction. We're going hard on the like the queerness, and just because I don't know if you guys noticed that, but it just kind of felt kind of like they were worried about how it was being perceived. And then in like the first episode, because I know the changes were like that people were saying that it was too for the male gaze in the first in the original pilot, it was too aggressive. But that, so then when they went into the first episode, the first real episode, it was super like they barely interacted really, and it was very kind of muted. And then they also had a shift in their like color scheme as well. And then after two episodes or so, it just seemed like they kind of threw that change that they made from the pilot to the first episode and just went for it again.
I like the wardrobe changes that they gave for Mon, because I was like, these are definitely better than the clothes that she was wearing.
Yeah, what Nancy said was that basically that pilot you're talking about was the first thing they shot, and they were trying to shop it around to get picked up. And basically it did it. They said like the comedy of it was like too much or too broad is what Nancy said. So they had to like focus it when they reshot it. And that's where you got like that different feel where it feels more muted and kind of things like that. And Idol Factory picked it up once they had that, made those changes. So, and Idol Factory has a bunch of queer content. So I think that's why, like, once they had that particular company, like, yeah, make it queer. We don't care.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a, the original thing you were looking at was a, that's what they were shopping with and it didn't shop well. So the changes were great. And like, thank you, Idol Factory.
Yeah. Make more.
Yeah. Make more stuff. There's a ton of stuff on there. Like there's like a bunch of queer content. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I've started watching other Thai shows on there. It's very fun.
I was trying to watch their interviews that they've done with Freen and Becky, but they're not in English. There are no subtitles. There's no nothing. And I know that they go, what?
You should look at their faces and go, okay,
that's what I'm trying. I know. That's what I was doing for like 20 minutes. And I was like, I like the behind the scenes stuff. And I know that they were talking about like how it was filming certain things. I know at one point she was actually asleep in the bed when they were filming her snoring because she was so tired that it's so like, I want to know that information. And I'm so annoyed that
We're like basically experiencing what the rest of the world
experiences
with our content.
Of course. Yes. So I guess one of the things that I really did like about this show was Lady Sam's friend group.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty well diverse of like, I mean, it was all female, but they're all gay and they're all like,
I'd be very surprised.
Oh my god, all of them. I'm like, oh my god.
Or like queer in some way, like just because even the one friend that was pregnant was
Jim.
Also,
oh my god, queer. I love Jim.
Like
Jim's like Jim's. I wanted to fuck Sam, and it's like Jim, he just got married. What are you doing? You have a baby.
I know it was so
not much, shy about that. I'm like, oh my god.
And like her pregnancy was like time frame of the entire show. It was like the only way to tell how much time was passing was how big her how
bump was.
Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty funny.
I love her. And then
I just really like showing queer friendships and showing queer like supportive friends that are there for them even if their family might not be or if other people in their lives aren't. And so I really really like a strong chosen family type situation in a show. And then one of the things that I actually didn't really like in the show was the scenes with Auntie Mi. So Auntie Mi was the what would we call
maid.
Her? The maid of the housekeeper kind of thing of the
Auntie Mi cleans the office. But like the maid is what it says in the subtitles.
Oh, it said maid? Okay, yeah. And so I don't know how to like word the feelings that I have about that. Cause like, I understand in the show and in like, cause I did a little bit of research on like how like gay men are in, shown in media and stuff. And they tend to be like the butt of jokes or the, what do I have here?
It's very Hayes Code-y.
Yeah. And it makes me feel uncomfortable, and I'm trying to see it in not a like American view, because I know it's an acceptable way to portray this type of character in Thai media and stuff, but it was just a uncomfortable, because it's how it, like, I don't know, 20 years ago, gay and lesbian characters were portrayed in media in the United States. So seeing it again in something that's more new is just, odd to me, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Aunt May is very much like, I mean, loved in The Office. Like, nobody like,
oh, yeah.
Or hates, like, you know, hates Aunt May or anything. Aunt May is very like, and the name is like, it's some like proverb where like Aunt May is like the gossip and knows everything. Like, that's what the May means. And so it's very over the top acting and it's very like hyper emotional and the butt of the joke, but Aunt May is like made to be the comic relief in The Office while serious things are happening, like Sam is breaking HR rules and trying to fire everybody. So like, yeah, the levity of The Office falls on the shoulders of Aunt May, who's like the lowest employee there because like Aunt May is the maid, right? To me, what it looked very like Hays Code-y a little bit. That's how it read to me. And if you don't know what that is, basically that's the what dictated television content in like the McCarthy era and all that kind of stuff, because puritanic values are just the worst and cannot escape America. And so queerness was only allowed to be portrayed on in media, like visual media, TV, movies, if the queer person was evil, if the queer person died at the end, if basically they were portrayed as a way that showed you that it was wrong. So like basically that's why like bury your gays was such a big thing, because like that's the only way you could have queer people. So it was a cautionary tale to be like, see, if you're gay, you're gonna go to hell, you're gonna die, because like that's what the code said that you were allowed to do. That's why if you look at a lot of like Disney villains for back in the day, they read as queer, and that's 100% on purpose, because that's the only way you can kind of put it in there. So for Aunt May, what Aunt May reminds me of is, as it's kind of like the opposite of what's going on with T, where you have a like a male person. It's not discussed, but this is just my read on it. You have a male person who's female presenting, essentially. Aunt May, you know, dresses like a woman. I don't know if Aunt May is trans or anything, but it's not discussed. But this is my read. So Aunt May is a male presenting with female presenting males, my take on it. And so in a culture where like masculinity, patriarchy is prized above all things, a rejection of masculinity is like a big no-no. And so very frowned upon, and it is the butt of all the jokes. So like, to me, it's almost like an embodiment of that cultural aspect is kind of like my read on it a little bit. It was kind of like that in other ancient civilizations that were very like highly patriarchal, like a rejection of masculinity was like the worst offense you could ever do. And so you were the butt of all the jokes and things like that. And it kind of, it just reads like that to me, but it, to take all that negativity away, at the very minimum, like Aunt May is like the comic relief in The Office. So like, I understand like what you're saying. And again, like these are just our takes on it. I don't know what the, how prevalent this kind of thing is, but yeah, that was kind of my read on Aunt May.
Yeah. Thank you for putting more eloquent words into that, because I just have like feelings, but thank you for the description of what I was
I'm a feelings interpreter. It's fine. Just put them out there. I do my best. Okay. So speaking of queerness in the show, let's go into the how was the queer rep in this section. So as we mentioned, the plot is literally sapphic love. That's the whole plot. So yay. I'm happy about that. I love it. And there's just, there's a lot of queerness in it, like you've discussed, even among like Sam and Mon, their friend groups, which is lovely. And then we have T, who's another really interesting character. I don't know the cultural context of this, but I can make a bit of an assumption, because T looks to me like the opposite of Aunt May a little bit, where it's like a female that's male presenting is kind of my read on T. And to me, that's the, in a cultural aspect, that's like the, you know, living masculinely. And like T very much dresses exactly like a man would dress, acts a little bit like a man, runs their own company, like is very like, if you see T with like Yuki, very like courts her the way like a man would court a woman. So it's like the acceptance of masculinity. So like in that culture, like that's more accepted than like Aunt May, who's like rejecting masculinity. So like it's my understanding that like masculine lesbianism is like more accepted and is okay kind of in that culture. And my frame of reference for that is Sailor Moon. So I used to watch that as a kid. And we've talked about that when we talked about like our favorite ships episode, Caitlin, where like you had Sailor Uranus, who's exactly like T. It was like a lesbian living as a man, basically. And that was totally fine. Like no one bats an eye at T. It was like the whole issue with Sam and Mon is they're both female presenting females. And that's where everybody's like, but you're both women. Like you dress like women. Nobody's the man. So I think as long as you have like a man and a woman, like internal gender be damned and nobody cares. So like that makes sense to me. But the fact that like Sabe and Mon are both female presenting femme women, that's where everyone's like, I don't understand this. Like, what do you mean? And so it's more of a big deal in like classic society, which is represented by like her family and her grandma and things like that. So
even in like, America, that's not typical.
Right. People are like, I don't get it. Who's the man? You know what I mean? Like it gives me those vibes. Whereas with T, everyone's like, oh, I get it. There's the man, there's the woman. This makes love make sense now. Mm-hmm. You know?
But T is like smooth.
Oh
like,
my just God.
So good.
Oh my God.
Oh boy.
I want the spinoff about
yeah.
T so badly. I actually want a spinoff of every single one of Sam's friends.
Mm-hmm. T's spinoff is called What's the T?
Oh my God, I want it so badly.
You know what I want? More of the, they do a dance at the wedding, I think it was. I just want like an episode of them all practicing and trying to learn this dance.
So how many, really you'd have to take a drink every time they try to kill each other. Cause like, you know, that's why like, I'm doing this at home.
Like, that's why they had a video and they learned it on their own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh. So I love them. I love all the queer friends. I thought the queer friends were great. I've mentioned that again, this is an important piece in Thailand because of kind of what's going on with LGBTQ rights in Thailand. And so I kind of wanted to cover that because this is something I learned and why I think this particular show is so freaking important. And the fact that it had such a big, you know, international response that was positive is huge. Mm-hmm. So very quickly, at this point in time, so right now it's 2024, February 2024, when we're filming this, that the time actually matters, why I'm saying it, because it could change by the end of the year. But so at this point in time, queer people have some rights, but not the same as cishet people, which is, you know, unfortunately kind of the norm. But the attitudes towards queer people has really shifted a lot since the 1990s, it's kind of similar to America a little bit. In 2024, there was a report put out by... 2014. Sorry, thank you. 2014 report by United States Agency for International Development and United Nations basically said that LGBT, wow, I can't acronyms, queer people still, quote, face discrimination affecting their social rights and job opportunities and face difficulty gaining acceptance for non-traditional sexuality, even though the tourism authority has been promoting Thailand as a gay-friendly country. So like, and I feel like the tourism and the fact that they have to conform to tourism does shift perspective, especially among younger people who are like, well, I see that it's fine, like, kind of thing, versus the other people who are like pretending for money kind of thing. But what's different about like America versus Thailand is like there's more discrimination that can happen like legally than there is here. Not that there isn't, but like that sets us apart just teeny tiny bit. At this point in time of this recording, Thailand does not recognize same-sex marriages, civil unions, domestic partnerships, or any kind of like combination thereof. So like there is kind of no legal binding for like two people to get married that are of the same sex, basically. But the opinion polls amongst the Thailand people are constantly favoring the legal recognition of same-sex marriage. So there's a lot of public like support amongst the citizens for this, even though it doesn't currently exist right now, which is what brings us to kind of current times. There is a same-sex marriage law that is currently undergoing review by the Thai parliament. And this was as of November 2023. So like a couple months ago, which is why I'm stating what time we're recording this. So that could go for a vote maybe this year, maybe soon. So there is a piece of legislation that's getting high up and very close to like coming for a vote. So like maybe it will pass very soon. So the fact that there is something being written is really exciting. And so that's why I think this show coming out with such a big, like, kind of like public support thing is helping making this kind of like legislation happen. So it could kind of change lives in America, lives for these people. But, you know, there are some laws that exist that protect against discrimination. But, you know, it still happens just like America. And really, nowhere is perfect in the world, but the general trend, kind of everywhere, including Thailand, is that like progress is happening as time passed, which is why I think a show like this at this particular point in time is huge, because it's helping gain more public support, and like that's translating into actual legislation that can actually change people's lives. So just wanted to bring that up because I thought that was really great and exciting, and like things are happening right now, which is very cool.
Woo.
Woo.
Step change. In the right direction.
Yeah.
Stepping in the right direction. Okay.
Let's not go backwards.
Mm. America.
Yeah, America.
Like, oh, yeah, those boy. Rights. Fuck that.
Like, you know those rights that we gave you a few years ago? Let's just take them back.
Burn them.
Oops.
It's not what the founders wanted when the founders didn't know any of these things. Oh my God. They just didn't have YouTube. They didn't have Google. Of course they don't know what's going on. Come on.
I think that's also been something. I can't remember if you guys are going to mention this or not, but YouTube was banned for a little while a few years ago.
Yeah.
So, like.
Yeah, I had that later.
Okay, you do.
But you bring it up now. Go for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's about it. Like, I mean, YouTube was banned. So, like, a couple, I think it was between 2014, 2017-ish, I think it was.
Something like that. And I believe it's because it was, like, one video that was...
Yeah.
That they
portraying the Tyrell family badly. I'm going to have a whole section about the Tyrell family when we talk about Sam, but yeah, that... Yeah.
Yeah,
that
but, happened. Like, so... But for in this case of... things being able to being like starting to change and whatnot, well, now they have YouTube and there's now more access to queer videos, and a lot of stuff is being not closed captioned or translated, and like there's just more access and people actually care about access for other languages and other cultures and stuff like that. So I think that's also helping change minds in a way.
So hooray for accessibility.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is thank you, YouTube.
You may not be perfect, but you're helping.
If you're watching this in another country, thank you. Say thank you to YouTube.
Yeah.
All right. So we will continue our gap series, starting with the scene by scene breakdown in the next episode, going from episode 1 all the way to episode 12. Thank you for coming along on this journey. Do you have a secret word for the people?
Okay, so, you know, like 30 minutes into this episode, I realized I didn't have one. So nice. I was going to go with something that Cole said. Monochromatic.
Mm.
That is your word. I'm getting into it. That is the word that I would like you to spell without looking up. This one's not as hard. But in a comment on the YouTube video or in a review for the podcast, just naturally put that word in there without explaining why and try to spell it without looking it up. Just be happy I didn't give you kookaburra again. Maybe that'll be in the next one.
Spoiler. Well, I guess if you want to see if kookaburra is the next word, you're just going to have to keep listening to our next episode. So until next time, I drink for lesbian Jesus.
And gay it up all over the place. Bye.
Bye.